We've been, we just last week started jumping into our church mission statement. Now, I mentioned to you that when we try to write and capture some words that says this is what our church is meant to be all about, it's not that we're trying to be very clever and come up with our own, like the church exists to come up with our own statement. We exist because God is on mission, so we want to capture a statement that reflects God's mission for us. We exist because God has a mission, and here's what we've written for our church mission statement. It says this: we exist to glorify God together by building faith, embracing hope, and sharing love through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, last week we talked about the opening statement. We exist to glorify God together. We talked about that statement, glorifying God, and how we do that in community, how we do that together. Last week was our time centering on those words, keeping Christ central, God-centered in our life. Now I want to move into these, for the next 3 weeks, this week and the next two, into these couplets, these three word couplets here: building faith, embracing hope, and sharing love. Now, there's these interesting couplets because there's kind of a familiar word put together with a little bit vague for us word. There's a familiar word like building. We understand what it means to build something, put it together, have it, you know, take its shape. But this aspect of faith, I know it's a word that we know of, but it can be a vague word for us. That's what we're going to tackle today, building faith. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about embracing. We know what it means to embrace, but what is this aspect of biblical hope? And then the other thing, you know, the last couplet, we understand sharing. We understand that aspect of sharing, but what is love? What is biblical love? What is Christ-like love? We're going to talk about that and what it looks like for us, the church, to be on God's mission in this world. As I mentioned today, we want to jump into the aspect of building faith. Faith is a huge New Testament word. It is found all over the New Testament. It's found in the Old Testament. It is a key biblical word. But as I am, maybe to the chagrin of some, trying to tackle large texts and books at a time like we have been doing, what I'm trying to do through these series is narrow it down to one text. So if you will turn to Romans with me, we want to jump into the book of Romans, and I'm going to narrow down to one text in just a moment. I'm going to start in the opening words of Romans, though. Romans is a book about faith. We've actually journeyed through Romans. I don't know if our journeying is the right word. Maybe we flew over with a jet. We flew over Romans not too long ago. But we've looked at the book of Romans. Romans is a book about faith. If you it's a book from beginning to end about faith. If you will notice, and you don't have to turn there, but Romans 1 verse 5, some of the opening words of Romans say this statement. It says, through him, speaking about Christ, through him we have received grace and apostleship. For, notice what it says next, obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. It opens with this concept of God's put Paul and others in the position he's put them in so that there might be this obedience to the faith around the globe with all nations. This obedience to the faith. I want you to notice how the book ends in the last few words, in the last paragraph, really, of the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 25 through 27 says this. It says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for, notice the next phrase, for obedience to the faith. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. From the beginning to the end, the book of Romans is a book about faith. What does faith look like? Now, I want you to jump with me into the middle of the book as we consider faith primarily from Romans 10 and 11. Romans chapters 10 and 11. Simple outline for you today is that, number one, faith calls. Number two, faith listens. And number three, faith fights. I want to think about those three statements together from this text. And as I said, there's 1,000 texts we could have chosen, but we're going to go into Romans here for the next few minutes together. Christians and the Bible talk a lot about having a right relationship with God. How can you and I have a right relationship with God? And Romans, among other passages, make it very clear that the only way that you and I can be in a right relationship, that we can stay in a right relationship with God, is by faith. By faith. I actually want to look at the first last couple of verses of chapter 9 before we get into chapter 10. Chapter 9, verse 30 through 32 says this. What shall we say then, that Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Verse 32 says, because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. The verse 33 quotes from the Old Testament. Here's this passage that it kind of leads us right into chapter 10. And there's this aspect of, in this context of Romans 9 through 11, Paul is considering his heart for his countrymen, his fellow Jews. And right here he says, the Gentiles, that's all non-Jews, many of them have come to faith having a right relationship with God. And while at the same time they're coming to have a right relationship with God, Israel, his own people that have the law of God, have the Old Testament scriptures, they're continuing to reject God. And he has this heart for them through this passage. But I want you to notice here, how have the Gentiles come into righteousness or having a right relationship with God? How do they do that? How do they get there? They have done it, it says here, by faith. And how have the Israelites, who have had the written scriptures for all these years, how are they not in a right relationship with God? This text tells us, because they didn't come by faith. Now, this is interesting. I don't have time here to really go into all the details of this particular statement, this aspect, as it says about verse 31 and 32, about the works of the law. The works of the law. The law is what God gave Israel. This special covenant document that established God's relationship with the people of Israel. This is how you're to act in my presence. But somewhere along the way, Israel fell. They tripped. They didn't get to what this law was meant to point them to. They didn't get there. They didn't understand it all. They fell. You see, they began to take the words of God in such a way that they missed God himself. They had this law of righteousness. You can even hear it there. They had this, I want to be right through the law. And I just, keeping the law, it all became about the law and not about the God who gave the law. And the Gentiles are coming to faith in him, this personal relationship with the lawgiver that Romans here tells us about. Now, faith is a word that simply means to believe or to trust. To believe or to trust. Now, the interesting thing about faith is faith always has an object. It's not just about faith in the word itself, but what do you have faith in, or who do you have faith in? What is the object of your faith? I was considering this truth this week, and the Lord reminded me of an interesting thing in my life. You know, all of us, We sometimes put our faith in things that probably don't deserve our faith. I have an image for you from back in 2000 when I took a missions trip to Nepal. If we can throw that on the screen, my missions trip to Nepal here, and that is a bridge, a bamboo bridge that we were hiking. We got to up by the mountains, and the bus stopped. There was no more roads. And there was a church about a day's hike or more out into the middle of nowhere. And this was the path. And it came to this pretty good raging river. And this was what you had to do to cross it. Okay? And I'm like, okay, I'm not a big guy, but I was the biggest guy in our team. And our Nepali guide, the Nepali folks are pretty small. I'm the biggest guy in our team, and I've got the biggest pack. And I'm like, this is not a good combination for this bridge, which had two kind of arm rails and a bottom kind of a foot walking path that was bent over this raging river, and it was strung together with things that were fraying, you know. And you're like, I don't know about this, you know. Am I going to put my faith in this bridge? And so here's the picture that says, you know, send this to my parents if I die crossing this rickety bamboo bridge in the middle of the backwoods of Nepal, you know. And, you know, there is interesting for us when we think about what we put our faith in. As we go into chapter 10 here of Romans, and we think about faith calling out to a personal God, it says here, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, for Israel, is that they may be saved. For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Here's this interesting passage that as we think about the law in this aspect of the end of chapter 9 and into chapter 10, for Israel, like this picture had illustrated for me, this picture we showed a moment ago, this illustrated for us, I had a hard time trusting this bridge, but this bridge did have like a beginning point and an ending point. And here's the reality. The law did not. The law was as if a bridge that went out, but it didn't land yet. Okay? There wasn't the bridge that had connection to the other side. The bridge of the law was incomplete. The law pointed forward, but it didn't complete the bridge. Chapter 10 tells us that it was not possible that the law could complete it. Someone had to come along and complete the full bridge of the law. The law pointed forward, but it wasn't the full bridge. Christ fulfilled the law, verse says for us. He completed the bridge, if you will, so that we could have a right relationship with God. Now, I recognize here today that there are probably some of you that when you saw that rickety old bridge in Nepal that was made out of old bamboo shoots, you think of Christ in at least as rickety a way as that bridge is. That I don't know that I can trust eternity on the finished work of Jesus. What Jesus did some 2,000 years ago, that doesn't seem stable enough for me to put my trust in it, that all my sins would be forgiven, and I can have a right relationship with God. I understand that might be you here today. See, this rickety bamboo bridge that I crossed in Nepal is something that I had to say, either I have to figure out a way around this thing or through this thing or do my own thing, or I got to trust in this alone. Jesus Christ calls for you to trust and call out to Him alone. This passage says in chapter 10, the first few verses here, say that Israel had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. You see, what was interesting here, like many of us today, there's this tendency that we want God, at least some of God. I want to get a patchwork of the qualities about God that I like, not the other qualities of God that I don't like. But we have this view of God that what I like about God, I like some of Him, but I want to get to God on my own terms. Here's Israel with this aspect of there's this bamboo bridge, if we can keep the illustration in front of them, that's Jesus. And they're like, I don't think so, right? There's no way you're getting some 170-pound me with my big pack stepping on that thing and trusting it like it's going to work. There's no way, you know? And so Israel is coming up with their own plan. Are they going to hike around? Are they going to try to swim across the raging river? Are they going to try to pole vault? I mean, I don't know. They're trying to come up with a way that they can get across anything but trusting the bridge. Anything but trusting the bridge. You see, you and I, we want to be our own Savior. We want to do something to be able to have a right relationship with God, to get across into the other side. We come up with all kinds of systems about how we think God will accept this or that. And we have our own method. We create our own religions to try to do enough to measure up to God, to be our own Savior, to be our own rescuer. But that's not according to knowledge. It's not how God reveals it to be. Just like for me in Nepal, the only way to get to that remote village, unless I went for miles and miles around, which is a poor illustration here, but is that bridge alone. That is what I had to cross. God used the law that was incomplete to point to the one way to God. Chapter 4, or verse 4 of chapter 10 here. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. He fulfills it. Jesus is the end of the law. He kept all the do's and didn't do all the don'ts of the Old Testament law. He was pure righteousness. And yet the reality of the gospel is he tasted the penalty that lawbreakers deserve. He tasted the penalty that you and I deserve because of sin. He alone is the way by which you and I can have a right relationship with God. He alone, even as Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. Jesus is the way. If you have heard about Jesus, if you have tried various means to get across into a right relationship with God, by whatever system you can contrive, by whatever effort you put forward, and you've come up short, and you've come to realize through this passage and a conglomeration of others that God's used in your past, that Christ is the only way, today can be the day that you turn from your way and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Today, right now, can be that for you. Trust, call out to Jesus Christ. Look with me in chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. You see, it's about who we put our faith in. It's about trusting in a person. Faith calls out to Him. Look at verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The gospel is not a story about how you, in all of your self-effort, found your way to God. The gospel is that the God who sought you, who came in Jesus Christ, He made a way for you to be right with God. That's the story of the gospel. It's through the person of Jesus Christ. He paid your sin debt. He paid your penalty so that you can be right with God. Faith calls out to Him. Now, what's interesting here as we consider what this looks like, as we think about the gospel story that this puts on display, the death and resurrection of Jesus, to trust in Him from the heart. This is not about a secret words, a special word prayer that you just repeat and say. As it says here, this is about calling out from the heart, verse 10. Believing with all your heart in who Jesus is and what He's done. Simple trust, authentically from the heart. Genuinely believing in your heart and calling out to Him. At the core of who you are, do you know that you cannot be good enough, that you cannot be your own Savior, and that you must turn and trust and call out to Jesus Christ Himself? Faith calls out. Faith surrenders to Him. This past Friday night, I already mentioned our ECS open house. And at the end of the night, I slipped home and I was taking my dog Spurgeon out back in my yard. And I'm out there and it's getting quite dark. And my daughter Noelle was over here still hanging out with some friends. And then she starts skipping across the parking lot home. And I don't remember exactly what I said, but I spoke to her and she stopped because she couldn't see me. You know, I'm in the dark, out in the back, behind some of the trees. And she stopped, kind of looked around and is like, "Dad? You know, like, where are you? I think that's your voice." She couldn't see me, but she called out to me and I moved towards her. And then she saw me. You know, there was this picture of I can't see, but I know that voice, and I'm going to call out to it. I'm hoping it's Him because someone just spoke to me in the dark here, right? Faith calls out. Look at verse 11 through 13. It says, "For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved." There's this beautiful part of this passage here that tells you and I, if we'll simply call out to Him, trust in Him and what He said to us, then He will abundantly save. It's not a distinction between who you are. It's about who He is. That He is Savior. Faith calls out to Him. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, verse 13 tells us. Faith calls out. Now, I don't have time this morning to develop it really from this context, but faith, I believe, continues to call out, not just in this initial salvation way, but faith is such that it continues to believe and it continues to call out to God. It trusts in a person. It's not about a list of laws, of do's and don'ts. Faith trusts in a person. The Christian walk not only begins by faith, but it continues by faith. We saw that weeks ago in Galatians. Salvation by faith and sanctification by faith. Faith calls out. Second thing I want to say about faith this morning from this passage is that faith listens. Faith listens. Paul, in this context, is trying to bridge this gap. In chapter 11, verse 13, he's called the apostle to the Gentiles. And as I mentioned a moment ago, he's not only the apostle to the Gentiles, but he's also, as chapter 9 opens, he loves his countrymen. His fellow Jews, he loves them. In their continual rejection of God, he just has a heart that they would repent and turn and trust in Jesus. That they would not trip over Him as the stumbling block. So there's this trying to bridge the gap as you read this passage and you're going, here's apostle of the Gentiles, here's love for his countrymen. And what does that look like? It brings us to this second aspect of faith in this passage, that faith listens. You see, up to this point, Israel has continued to reject. They have not turned to the Lord. In the heart of this passage is that they would. That they would stop with their stubbornness and that they would listen to God. They would obey His words. That both Jew and Gentile would listen to the living God. How? How is this going to take place? What is this going to look like? Verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to talk to you about listening for a moment together and think about two means, methods that God uses to help us to listen to Him. One is that He has revealed Himself in the word of God. He's revealed Himself in the word of God. Your faith and my faith begins and is built up by the word of God. God has put it in writing. He's written it down, made it permanent in that way. Your faith is in the Word of God. Faith has an object, and it's found in the person of God revealed in the Word of God. Now, we understand from Scripture, John 1, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ, the righteous, full of grace and truth. We understand John 1 talking about the Word of God. But I think this passage here goes on in verse 18 through 21 of chapter 10. And he talks about Old Testament quote after Old Testament quote after Old Testament quote that says, God has written it down. And you can look back and see that this, what's happening with the rejection of the Jews, is coming true. God is faithful to His Word. You can trust His Word. Brothers and sisters here today, you can take this Word and you can test it. Read it. Try it. Test it. Put it to the work. Put it to the test. Read it and be equipped by it. Listen to its teaching. Faith listens to the Word of God. It can bear up under the test that we put before it. And so read and study and test it. I want to look at one other means that God uses in this passage. Not only does God use the Word of God, but if we go back to verse 14 and 15, God uses beautiful feet. God uses beautiful feet. Now, this is not an opportunity for you to take off your shoes and socks right now and compare your feet with the person next to you, and we'll have a contest here this morning. That's not what this is about. You know, this Wednesday, my parents are coming into town, and my mom, she loves to compare feet with me. She always says, I have these beautiful feet, and my toes just perfectly curl down from my big toe to my pinky toe, and they're just beautiful. And she makes fun of my feet because I have a big toe, and I have these three long claws of my next three toes, and then I have this little tiny pinky toe, you know. It's like, she's like, ugh, you know, and I'm like, she like loves to compare feet with me, you know. I have beautiful feet and you don't. So that's my mom, but that's not what this is about right here, about beautiful feet. The train of thought here is, this is a quote from Isaiah 52 verse 7. Okay, he's quoting Isaiah in verse 15 here, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. He's speaking about a messenger who runs the dirty, dusty roads and bruises and bloodies his feet to deliver the message of good news to those in need of it far away. Beautiful feet who will run this message out. The message, just like the New Testament, the word gospel means good news. Who are those who are going to bear the message out? Now look at the progression in this passage in verses 14 and 15. It says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? There's this progression here that goes before us. Now, let me kind of take this progression in reverse, okay? Now, people at the end of this progression are hearing the message and responding with faith. They're believing the message they received, okay? They're believing it and calling out to God. The message that has come to their ears. This idea of saving faith in this case on the name of the Lord. But that's taking place because a messenger has brought the message to them, okay? Now don't be confused here in this passage about this term preacher, okay? This is a term meaning, it doesn't just mean pastor, preacher up here. It means a messenger that carries the message around, goes forward, goes out with the message. This is not a getting you off the hook. Oh, is this preacher? Okay, this is a messenger idea to say, those that, how can they hear? They've heard and respond because a messenger has come. How did that messenger get sent out? This text tells us. The next thing as we keep going here is that messengers go because they're sent. There was a messenger that was given this commission, if you will, take this message and go with it. And so he went, took the message, they heard, they believed the message, and they called out to the Lord. They repented and trusted in Christ. Now there's this progressive route here of how kind of the message from God gets to the hearers and they respond in faith, okay? God uses means. Now, when we, let's kind of look through the progression again as we think about it today, okay? We have to ask some questions. Let me ask first, are people coming to faith in Jesus and growing in their faith? I think there's this, as we look at the end result of the message now, not as many as we would like to see, right? Not as many as we'd like to see are responding in faith, but here's the reality. God, this is the work of God. God is faithful to those who hear the scriptures, hear about the gospel. God is faithful that not everyone, but many are coming to faith in Jesus. Let me skip back to the beginning. When we think about being sent, has anyone been commissioned to take a message and go out with it? And we'd say yes, right? We could go no further than Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Jesus himself said, go and tell, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them all things that I've given to you. So there is this commission. Some are believing, but let's kind of think about the middle of that progression. If we think about the middle of the process, kind of dare we go here, are there those who've been commissioned by God that are struggling to listen to the promptings of God and tell others about this message? If God has commissioned, and God at the end of the process is seeing people that doing the work that only he can do to help see people believe and trust his message, where you and I fit is into the middle of this paradigm, and where often the failure in this paradigm takes place is that we've been commissioned, but we have a hard time listening to the promptings of God to go and bear the message around us. This is the really convicting aspect of this passage. You see, faith goes. Faith listens to God. There's a commission. I believe it. And I'm going to take that message around me wherever I go as a messenger, so that people will hear and God will help them to understand and believe and call out to him. Do we listen and join others with biblically beautiful feet that are dusty and bruised and broken from the action of being a messenger so that others might hear? You see, faith listens. Faith listens. God uses means. He uses the Word of God to convict and to grow us. God uses other means. He uses his messengers to go and to tell. Will you listen to God? When God speaks, will you follow his promptings in your life? The third aspect of faith I want to jump into with you is this principle. Faith fights. Faith fights. Now, this is not an opportunity to condone some backyard brawls out behind the sheds after the service today, okay? That's not what I'm talking about here. This is the idea that faith is active, right? Faith is active. It goes forward with what it hears. Faith fights the good fight of faith, like Paul says to Timothy. In chapter 11 of this passage in Romans, Paul considers the idea that perhaps God has kind of thrown Israel away. Perhaps God's just done with them. Is that the case for Israel? And Paul says no. He says certainly not, verse 1. That's not the case. I will not believe that. And in verse 17, he used the illustration of the Gentiles being a wild branch that's been grafted into the tree, but that the tree will still grow out branches, and it'll be a tree of Jew and Gentile. It's this picture of grafting. Now, I'm not really skilled or knowledgeable in this area, but I do remember back in high school that we had a vacation Bible school at my home church in Michigan. And one of those snot-nosed kids, you know, jumps up on this little tree that's probably 12 or 15 feet tall, grabbed a small lower branch, and it bent and ripped. So this branch rips off and at the joint by the tree. And I would probably normally have just kind of pulled the rest of the way off and just said, well, it's just going to have to scab over and grow. But this particular time, my brother and I decided that we're going to take this branch and we're going to pull it back up and we're going to tie it off. And we're just going to see if it'll grow back together. And, you know, we had to adjust the tension a few times. But through time, what was really cool is this tree and this branch that was ripped down, it grew back together. Really cool. And years later, it still has this little bit of the marks of the scar, but it's grown back together. It was grafted back together. Here's a picture in this passage in Romans 11, verse 17 and following. This illustration of the Gentiles have been grafted in to the tree of God's people. Amazing about the grace of God. And it was purely of grace. And so Paul warns the Gentiles, don't think highly of yourself. This is about God. But this is about God fighting for all to believe. This aspect of Paul says, I want to fight so that you believe is the gospel to the apostle to the Gentiles. But I also fight for my countrymen. I want to believe and fight for their faith. That they would follow God and come back to repentance in Him. In this passage, what does faith look like? It looks like in verse 20, do not be haughty, it says, but fear. As I look to who God is and what faith looks like, I fight with humility and I fight forward in the name of Christ to believe His promises. And I fear Him, I respect and honor Him. Verse 22, I consider His goodness, I continue in it. Consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. Severity, but toward you, goodness if you continue in His goodness. So keep fighting the fight of faith. Faith fights. Look at verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Faith fights. It listens to the mercies of God, all the amazing promises of God, and then it believes them and follows hard after God. It seeks to apply those things and live them out. Now we're talking about some key core stuff here. About faith. We're going to talk about hope. We're going to talk about love. We exist to glorify God together by building faith, embracing hope, and sharing love through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith. What is it? Faith calls to a personal God who has sought us, and faith continues to trust in Him. Faith listens. Our faith is built up by the Word of God. Trust it. Put it to the test. Obey it. And follow the promptings of God. Faith fights. It's not passive. It's not pretending that we have no responsibility and that just God's going to do what God's going to do. Faith fights. It actively applies the truth and the promise of God and all His mercies and is transformed by the work of God, by the power of God for everyday life. And I ask you today, how is God speaking to you about your faith? We want to see it built up and growing and thriving. And we do it in community. We do it through the Word of God for the glory of God. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for this key biblical word that sometimes we want to define it for ourselves. That we want to be like Israel, and I can define what faith looks like of how I can be right with God. Lord, would You help us to follow You according to how You reveal Yourself, according to knowledge, as chapter 10 has told us. And Lord, I just pray that as we think about faith together, that You would continue to build up our faith, that You would grow it, that it would look like the person of Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your grace and patience with us on this journey. In Jesus' name. Amen.